بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Well guys, today is April the what? 15th?
14th.
And it's the day right after we went out and did a little thing with Dean Squad Lions.
Hoop Finesse, pull up for success, the two twin, the Hoopers, man. It was an amazing event. I just love being around, you know. It's not something we usually do, but, you know, alhamdulillah, they were local. And, you know, we got to go and we got to meet them. We got to play with them. It was an amazing event. Shout out to Dean Squad Lions, Hoop Finesse, Pull Up for Success. Shout out to all of them, man.
All the sponsors of the event as well. Like, it wasn't even just that. The fact that we got all the kids together, you know. Kids together, they come around, they play basketball. They sit down, they learn about the Deen of Islam as well.
You know, something that was really also another highlight of that event is the Reverb brother we met, the one that works for Mercy USA. Man, he's an amazing brother. Like, I can't put into words. I just got that sense of love for him.
Well, you guys are going like a little too broad. Like, bro, there was a whole event. Like, talk about your experience. Talk about what it meant to you. Like, bro, we went there. And of course, you know, I'm expecting a basketball camp. Like, the kids are going to learn how to play basketball and stuff like that. But I wasn't expecting, like, the overwhelming sense of love that, you know, I'm surrounded by all these Muslims and these are the next generation. So I took all the time that I could to, you know, just hang out with these kids and, like, get to know them and stuff like that, talk to them. Like, man, we were at the restaurant that they hosted us at yesterday and I was just talking to all of them. I told them, like, oh, you guys want to play trivia or something? Like, you know, just do something fun. Like, get as many, you know, little memories that I can with these kids because I don't know if I'll ever see them again. Bidnillah, but, like, bro, I was sitting there, like, letting these kids know, like, that okay, what I'm doing right now, you know, aspire to be greater than me. You know, a lot of these kids, they play basketball. Basketball is currently their passion because they're kids. But we also tried to instill in them, you know, the love for the Deen of Islam. Like, seeing how, oh, I was playing basketball with them, but, like, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, I learned about Islam. I learned about my Lord.
Exactly. We look, they were sitting there, they were having fun, but, yeah, we could still take the time out of our day to go ahead and worship Allah. When it came time for prayer, we prayed. When we after we all played basketball, you know, we had a little talk, we had a little halakha. You know, everything was great with the kids. Like I said, this is the next generation. These kids are going to be our kids' teachers. You know what I'm saying? And Allahumma bari, these kids, like, first of all, they were really good at basketball. I'll tell you. Yeah. Like, I was like, subhanAllah, I was really surprised. You know, mashallah, tabarakallah. And on top of that, their knowledge was also amazing. Like, for them, like, being the age that they are, like, they're doing, like, 100 times better than I was when I was their age. Because I remember when I was that age, I didn't want to sit down and learn about the religion of Islam. You know, I just wanted to go ahead and play. I was always messed around in class. Sometimes I get kicked out of class when I was at the masjid. Like, you know, I was getting all sorts of trouble as a kid. But, you know.
This guy's talking about getting kicked out of class.
Nah, bro. I mean, in the class, my teacher be talking about something. Stand up. I'll be like, come on, bro. Don't make me stand in the corner.
He used to be a troublemaker.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Because we were sitting there and I remember, like, trying to get as involved as I could with the kids. Like, I know the camp wasn't for me, but I was like, hey, man, get me involved, bro. Like, shoot, I want to play against these kids. And, like, every single time we stepped up, you know, they're all trying to line up. Like, remember when they did the little 3v3 thing and then everybody was lining up. No, me. Keep going. They were like, oh, we're only going to do it one time. They're like, no, another. I'm like, you know, as much as I love to do that, you know, there was something bigger at hand. You know, it's just kids, they always want to make an impression on you. There were kids that made an impression on me because, like, even though I'm nobody, you know, I'm just like them. You know, I'm a kid myself. Like, I'm someone, I'm still learning. You know, I'm still learning my deen. I'm still getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they see someone new. They see, like, a new face. They see someone that they want to get to know. They want to befriend.
And I just want to say, when we first started this podcast, I didn't think I was going to end up, you know, a year later doing an event with all these kids. And they all know my name and they all know who we are. And it's like, you know, like, alhamdulillah, I don't want to seem like I'm boasting, but alhamdulillah, one of my most favorite things about doing what we do is that whenever we go to a mosque, like, people, like, they recognize us, and I love that. I'd rather be recognized in a mosque and welcomed in a mosque than any other place, you know?
Recognized for doing something fi sabilillah, you know what I'm saying? Like, recognize that some people have seen you online, and they're like, oh, wow, like, I like your trivias, or your Islamic reminders helped me get better on my deen, like, oh, I started praying when I watched your videos, that type of stuff, like, that's what you want. That's what you want.
Because remember how, like, the conversation went when we first started this? Is like, if we spoke the truth, people were going to listen. Not only that, if we impacted one person's life, mission complete.
Or even then, before we started the podcast, Nuri Muhammad Sadli, you know, the reciter, Allah Yarhamu. But we would always listen to his Quran, and we would just look at him and look at all these other reciters. It would be like, SubhanAllah, they're known well all around the world, but only for reciting the Quran. Can you imagine that type of honor Allah has given them? Like, they're not out here known for being, you know, for posting, you know, falsehood and posting haram things and things of that nature, you know, things that a lot of people look up to in our society.
It's like here. It's like every time you see them, they're reciting Quran. Every time you see them, you're reminded of Allah. Like, I know, like, even Nuri Muhammad, I don't think I've ever seen a video, I don't think I've ever seen him speaking except that he's reciting Quran. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's an honor. I remember we had that, like, that epiphany. We were like, wow, that realization. We're like, wow. Especially like when we were also talking about like Yasser Adossi. I don't think I've ever seen him. Like, and every time we see him, he's always covered. He's got the best clothes on. He looks like the best. He always looks like, it doesn't look like he has a bad day. He doesn't look like he's tired. It doesn't look like you can never, you would look at him and he's like, nothing's ever wrong with him. You know,
man, his job is reciting the Quran in the most grand mosque. Like, how this could, is, like, a bad day for you? I mean, obviously it's going to exist, but at the same time, you look at him and you're just like, the only thing I see from you is barakah. Like, it's just blessing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you in that mosque so that you can recite Quran for everybody. Like, you lead everyone in prayer. Mm-hmm. And you think about the blessing it is to not only pray in any mosque, but in Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi.
The blessing it is to lead there.
Exactly. Like, so
it's just like, bro, that's all the way across the world. And then I'm coming from like a small city all across the world in a place where there's not many Muslims, and I'm still listening to him. Or I still want to go out there and meet him and things of that nature.
Imagine like after he dies, imagine like the good deeds he would be getting, like, only a link.
That's the type of ajr that we were seeking, like, starting something like this, being able to go talk to other kids, like, because obviously that's our target audience. Our target audience is people like us or people maybe younger than us, because impacting people older than you is not as easy, like, because they've already lived life. They got life experience.
Yeah, they know
like
a little
that.
Bit
so
more than
like,
us.
Exactly. So it's not like there's certain things that we can tell them. Sometimes we have, actually. Like, we've had parents come up to us talking about, like, you know, they've learned a lot from us. You know, alhamdulillah for that. But there's other aspects that we obviously don't know about. Like, we don't know about marriage. We don't know about kids. We don't know about those, you know, those aspects and how to raise kids upon Islam, stuff like that. Or even, but we know how to tackle our own lives and our youth. In our youth, when our desires are at our highest, and understanding that we put Allah first over our desires.
For sure.
We put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over our desires. We try to seek the sweetness of Ramadan throughout year round, not just in the month of Ramadan. And, you know, that's also one thing that I was going to get into real quick was, like, you could feel like the post-Ramadan depression hitting. Like, even my prayers aren't feeling the same right now. My du'as are not feeling the same. Like, everything starts to decline a little bit once you leave the month of Ramadan.
But isn't that like an increase in faith? Because you know that Ramadan truly is a month in which Allah, He told us to fast, and He sent down the Quran. It's a blessed month. And that, like, when you leave it and you realize, wow, you can really tell a difference between the two months. That's how you know, like, this is truly the religion from Allah.
And I ain't gonna lie, bro, especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, like, my iman was, like, top tier, like, at its peak. Like, I felt like nothing could, like, bring me down at that moment. I was like, man, like, subhanAllah, I want to be in the mosque every day. I want to pray all like I've thought all week. Like, bro, even, like, when we were sitting there praying, thought all week, like, remember, I got out of line. And I hopped back in. I was like, bro, I don't want to leave. I came back.
And I was like, bro, the same thing happened to me, like, especially these last 10 nights. I don't know why. Well, I obviously do know why. It's because of Allah. Like, every single year, Ramadan does something to better for me. Yeah. Like, whether I leave Ramadan better or not, or I stay on that path, that's, you know, that's knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, like, every single year, something different happens to me that I feel, like, closer to Allah. Like, I feel like my connection to Allah got better. Now, throughout the year, I do have those moments, but Ramadan is, like, the whole month. And, you know, if you guys ever seen those videos where people will be like, oh, Ramadan summed up, and it'll be like a cup with dirt in it, and then they'll put the sink on, and then they'll just watch it as it drains out, and then the water goes from brown to clear over the process of, like, 30 simulated days, right?
Yeah.
That was literally me. Every single night, especially, like, the last 10 nights, think about Laylatul Qadr, right? I'm seeking Laylatul Qadr each night. Every single night, my du'as got better. My du'as got, like, not more delusional, but more, like, descriptive. Like, I was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if I was, like, with ihsan. Like, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me ihsan, right? And you know what ihsan is?
Yeah.
Ihsan is being able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him right in front of you. And if you can't do that, then you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously sees you. But me, it was like, I could just look straight and I could feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was right in front of me. That's that feeling of ihsan that I was like, I'm having a conversation with Allah. Like, of course, in the prayer, I'm having a conversation with Allah. But every single night, it was like getting closer to that. It felt like, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, like, really hearing me right now. I'm really like being responded to as I'm making these du'as right now. And now that I've left Ramadan, that feeling is starting to fade. And I'm chasing that feeling. Like, I keep telling myself, man, I'd rather fast the whole year to feel that feeling of Ramadan than eat. I don't care. Like, I'd give up food and drink from Fajr to Maghrib as for the whole year, for the rest of my life, just to feel that feeling of Iman that I felt during Ramadan.
Yeah, I kind of. This is gonna be like a, it's gonna be a shocker to most of y'all, but I kind of miss Ramadan. Like, man, like, what you just said was so fact. I kind of wish Ramadan was next month. Like, one thing I also noticed is that, bro, during Ramadan, I was listening to so much Quran. Like, all I, like, literally throughout my day, probably 18 hours of it, was I was hearing Quran. Literally, right? I was hearing Quran. And now, like, bro, I'm lacking, right, bro. Like, no, even, like, you heard me yesterday when we were driving, when we were making the drive, we had a long drive yesterday. Dude, I kept telling, I kept telling him, because, bro, every time I heard that, bro, I felt like that feeling of Ramadan. It felt good, bro. I was like,
yeah, bro. I'm going to give you some dap for that real quick. Give me some dap, bro. Because, look, instead of him saying, like, oh, put on that young boy, put on that new Drake, because apparently, like, all these new music artists and albums are coming out and stuff. This guy was like, put on, yeah, Yasir, put on that Noreen. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Bro. I'm sitting there, I'm just listening to it in the back of my ear. I'm like, I'm learning mercy.
Because, right, bro, if y'all don't know, Usman has the best Quran recitations. He knows the entire vault. He got the entire vault. And not only that, bro, I have him added, like, on a playlist. Me and him, I had to share a playlist with him because, bro, he got all the best Quran recitations. Every single time he plays something, I'm like, yep, give me that.
Got to put them on, man.
I'm telling you.
Right, because, look, I'd be having to research because, look, I'd be sitting there, I'm like, all right, I have a surah, I want to memorize it. Then I go and I'm like, all right, I need to find a really good recitation where it's like I want to imitate it, or it's like, you know, something that's really like soothing to me, because like there's nothing wrong with having a favorite reciter. So, you know, I make a little playlist and, you know, it's a little bit diverse. You know, I have some Sudanese reciters here, some Kuwait reciters here, some Saudi reciters here, and it's just, you know, Allah, it's beautiful.
I just want to ask you guys a question real quick. This is for everybody who's like, who's going to watch this or whatever. So, a question for everyone. I want you to think about like the du'as you were making the last 10 nights of Ramadan, seeking out Laylatul Qadr specifically, right? Think about those du'as. Think about how close those goals that you had in mind, those things that you were asking for, felt. Like, feel like how close you felt to reaching that goal because you were making those du'as, because of that iman during Ramadan, that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that that certain night could have been Laylatul Qadr. And I want you to feel like, what does it feel like now? How do those goals and those du'as that you were making, how does it feel now? Because to me, it feels like it's fading a little bit. Feels like it's getting out of reach. And I know that's from shaitan, because it's like, I asked for these things. If Allah wills it, if Allah decrees it for me, then it'll come true. But shaitan got me thinking like, oh, it's out of reach. You asked for too much.
I'll put it in perspective for you. I will put it in perspective for you. The way I look at it is, who's the one who taught us about du'a? Allah. Who is the one who told us to make du'a? Allah. Who's the one that set down the Quran? This is a verse I'll always go back to. In Surah Isra, it says, indeed, this Quran guides to that which is most upright. Why would Allah send us this Quran if he didn't want it the exact best for us? Why would he send us the Quran if he didn't want us to be that which is most upright? Mm-hmm. So if Allah wants the best for us, and I'm asking Allah for the best, and I'm asking for Allah for things, why in your mind do you think it's not going to happen? But here's the thing. Here's the trick to this world. The difference between you and what you want is pain, struggle, and suffering. That in Jannah, we don't have that. That's why we strive for Jannah. That's why we know that this world is not our paradise. And I know you got to be prepared to live that. You got to be prepared to live through the pain, the struggle, and the suffering. And if you're not, then you're going to get gobbled up. You don't got no patience. You're going to get gobbled up like this. And you're going to see it before your eyes, man. You're going to have people doubting God. You're going to have people doubting themselves. You're just going to give up as soon as things get hard. You're going to give up on your focus as soon as things get hard. And that's one of the most, I ask Allah to help me. Allahumma ista'an. I ask Allah to help me like and protect me from that, because I don't want to be that type of person. Like, okay, it's easy to be happy. It's easy to be kind when everything is going good in your life, when you got everything. But when things get hard, does that all of a sudden give you an excuse to start treating people terribly and ridiculing people? Like, it's just like this. If someone were to spit on your mom, would you say, oh, maybe he had a bad day? No. In what world is that an excuse for him to do something like that? Just the same way as in what world, like maybe you're being tested, but in what world does that give you an excuse to sin against God?
Turn away from Allah. Yeah.
And that's why Allah says to seek help through patience and prayer. And then I love the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah when it says, "Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen." It's just like, my patience, it doesn't go for waste, because sometimes people, they look at you as a patient person. What do? They take advantage of that. It's like, oh yeah, he's patient. He'll deal with it. And they'll just go ahead and start to overload you with certain things. They'll start talking to you a certain way because, you know, they see that you might not retaliate back right away. But then you just think about it. It's like, all right, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. Allah is watching me. I'm happy. And I'm going to be patient only for the sake of Allah. Like, the only reason why I'm not going to hurt you right now is because Allah is watching me, and I want to be patient. I want to earn that Jannah. I want to better myself.
And it's a sentiment. It's in, like, it's reoccurring in the Quran. Allah does not praise someone or elevate them to a high status except after testing them.
Man, matter of fact, look, where were we at yesterday? We was at a car meet yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
At nighttime.
Oh, yep.
And what happened? You had some guy, he was being very, very, like, mad disrespectful.
Like, unbelievably rude, and he doesn't even know who we are.
Bro, this guy, I don't even want to put it like this, but the level of cockiness and arrogance of this guy was, like, all the way up here. Bro was out here making jokes and being, like, just mad disrespectful, like, even to one of our friends, like, you know. And Usman, you saw him kind of get, like, he was one of our really friends, like, he got really worked up. Mm. And Usman was just like, bro, just leave him be, like, just go ahead. And like, that's when he said, I asked him afterward, he said, yeah, like, that's when he remembered Allah, he just walked away. And that was, like, one of the best things that he could have done. Cause, like, bro, if you guys would have seen this right here, I don't even know how I would have reacted. Cause I wasn't even there in that moment. I was out doing something else.
It could have escalated so quickly. It's like, you don't want to waste your time. Like, there's a reason why he's acting like that. But there's no reason for him to be like, sometimes you got to leave that to Allah. He wasn't a major threat at the time, but just his words, he's saying stuff like, okay, everyone can talk, everyone can say what they want. I'm not going to let that affect.
But then here, like, look, the person that he was also with, and mind you, this is what happens when, you know, there's no guidance, right? When, you know, you worship other than Allah. This guy was literally bragging about all his cars. He had a Porsche, what was that, GT3 RS. And he was like, and for those of you guys who don't know, it's a really, like, nice and expensive car that's, you know, fast. But he was just like, yeah, this is one of my five cars, and this is the slowest one out of all of them. And bro, like, and this car is already, like, you know, 200, 300,000, whatever. And he's like, yeah, this is one of my slowest cars. He said, man, when I die, chop every single body part of mine and put it all into different cars. And it's just like, bro, it's not that serious.
Like, and you said it perfectly. You said, this guy worships his car. What the hell is that car going to do with you? You dead? That VA is not going to do nothing for you. Wait, it's a VA, right?
No, it was a flat six. But still, at the end of the day, bro thinks he's going to speed run to Jannah.
Like, bro's going to die and show his quarter mile time. Like, come on.
So you were the one there.
Yeah.
Who else was with you?
We had one of our friends. We have Usman. We had another one of our friends. Both reverts.
And it was, where were you at when this happened?
I think I was, what's it called? I was talking to, there was some Palestinian people out there. I was talking to them.
Okay.
And he was just letting it flee. He was just talking. I didn't really acknowledge anything he said, but I heard that he was ridiculing.
How did this even start though?
Exactly. You want to know how this, we didn't start nothing. He just came here and that was
I know. I remember exactly how it started. It's because he was trying to bet on a race against somebody, and no one wanted to bet money on a race.
Because that's not what we... Because remember, we said there's a lot of Palestinians on there. We didn't want to do
that. And I was like, hey, look.
Like, we're all Muslims. Like, we said halal, wait, haram, wait, we talk about that.
Bro, he just started going on from there. He's like, oh, nobody wants to bet. Everyone just wants to race for fun. And like, because, like, you know, these people, they just take this thing as mad serious. They're like, oh, I have so much money invested in my car. Bro, if you already got that much money, what is a little side bet on a car race going to do for you? You see what I'm saying here? Like, it just shows you, like, they already have so much in life, but yet they just want to keep chasing more and more and more. And when they don't get that little satisfaction, all of a sudden they're mad, they're ungrateful. And like, this just reminds me of the verse in the Quran. It says, mankind is always ungrateful.
Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah.
For what it seems to me, what you guys are telling, like, I mean, a guy, he's very fortunate in life, and something stirred the pot so little just because he didn't get what he wanted, which, I mean, like you said, it tells you about what, when there's no guidance, but when there is guidance present, as in you guys fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you guys can walk away from something like that, because shaitan is like, he's the D1 level instigator, bro. You can hear words, but in your mind, you're just hearing like him disrespecting you. He could be saying whatever. If it sounds disrespectful, it might turn into disrespect because shaitan's telling you like, bro, you gonna let him say this stuff to you? Like, oh, he's raising your voice at you. He's doing this, he's doing that. Even though he's not really a threat, but you'll make him out to be a threat because that's what shaitan wants.
And no, not only that, you know exactly what's going to happen. And I deal with this a lot. Look, someone will talk to you a certain way And you'll begin to feel like you're the problem. Like, oh man, I'm too cowardly. I can't deal with this. This person, he thinks he's above me and I haven't done anything. That's completely the opposite. What really is wrong, he's the person in the wrong. He's the one that has the problems. You're perfectly fine. You're not, when someone's actively threatening another person, why do you think the person that's being threatened is in the wrong? Like, no, it's the person, like, why are you threatening another human being? Well, obviously with, you know, precaution, like maybe you don't know like the situation, but like between you and another person, and you know you haven't done anything wrong, just know you're not the person that's wrong. So you don't have to do anything except defend yourself.
Defending yourself, and like, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I didn't go through that much when I used to work like in customer service and stuff like that, because I didn't deal with people like that, bro. Like if people had an issue, I just, you know, I'd turn them away because I don't got time for your grievances. Like if you have something to deal with, go deal with someone higher up. I don't get paid enough for this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in life, bro, if you want to argue with me, I don't get enough good deeds for all this. Like, this, you, me arguing with you right now is not bringing me to Jannah. It's not bringing me any closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no reason for me to do it. If you want to take it like that, like, because you know how a lot of people in life, they're like, oh, if it's not about money, don't talk to me, mm-hmm. type stuff, right? Okay, if it's not about Jannah, don't talk to me. Look, if it's not about me getting closer to my Lord, don't talk to me.
Hey, bro, we know it all too well. Osman Hussein, we know it all too well about arguments and how it takes us nowhere. When we used to be on TikTok and we used to argue with the people from various different faiths, oh my, it used to go on for hours, dude.
All right, but look. My little rebuttal to that. Look, you know what I'm saying? Look. It was pointless to the person we were talking to.
Yeah,
but a lot of people that were watching, they get the benefits from it. You know, they just look at it, they'd be like, they learn so much from it.
I agree.
And it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, all right, if you're not gonna learn from it, other people are gonna learn from it. And that's exactly why we're gonna do it. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you wanna turn away, all right, that's cool on you. But just mind you, there's a lot of other people out here. Some people that wanna learn.
You gotta also look, this is why it's important to surround yourself with good people, because a situation like that with someone who's hot headed and doesn't know any better, they could easily just be like, oh, you trying to fight? Like, let's fight. And then a whole altercation can begin for something so small. And
especially, we live in the West, and we already know, like, there's a lot of problems with firearms and whatnot. Like, you know how that could quickly escalate, you know?
Matter of fact, what you just said, hanging around the right people, because, look, I don't even know why I didn't think of this, but, like, that's so true what you say. Hanging around the right people, because in that situation, Osman told him, you know, just leave him be, just walk away. Imagine Osman was someone who wasn't on his deen and started instigating the fight. Mm. And then the fight would have escalated, the fight would have happened. And on top of that, since he doesn't fear Allah or anything, then he'll just walk away from the fight. He ain't going to get anything out of it. You know, he might get scared, you know, but at the end of the day, like, if your Muslim brother's in trouble, I'm hopping in that and I'll die by him. You know what I'm saying? I'll die for him.
Yeah, at the end of the day, when it becomes self-defense, but like any altercation that breaks out, I'm not actively looking to fight. I remember, like,
for sure.
Diffuse and then destroy.
When I used to hang around a lot of non-Muslims, like back in high school and whatnot, they used to be hot-headed. Like they used to go looking for fights. And I'd be sitting there with them like, what are we doing? Like, and I'd be in the back. They used to always think like, oh, Hussein, don't fight. And I'm like, that's not the point. It's not that I don't fight. It's that I don't fight for no reason. Like, I'm not gonna put my hands up first. I'll use my words, bro. I know how to use my words. I know how to be a human being, bro. I know how to be civil. Like, this is another human being, bro. I don't know what he's going through. So if he's angry at something, then like let's hash it out. Let's talk about it, bro. I'll actually help you out. I'll give you some advice. Like, what the heck? But then, and then it turned into something like when I started hanging around a lot more Muslims, I used to be the one to defuse situations. Like, fights would be ready to break out. I'd be like, nah, it's not worth it, bro. And sometimes they'd be telling me like, oh, this and that. And I'm like, hey, at the end of the day, you're bringing a lot of hypotheticals, but we're rewarded for not engaging regardless. We're rewarded for not engaging. As long as they're not doing something that can harm us, harm our families, harm our property, okay.
Dude, even when it comes to the time of war in Islam, do we go out actively looking for the enemies?
Never.
No, we don't go out looking for the enemies. But if they engage, then of course, we defend ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Islamic history, none of the Muslims ever fought until they were told to fight. Mm-hmm. Until they were forced to fight, like they were forced out of their homes, uprooted from their livelihoods.
And not only that, they were the Muslims were in the minority, and every single one of our oppositions were in the majority.
Remember, we were listening to Surah Muhammad yesterday, and you had that verse come up, and it was like, if Allah willed, He could have destroyed all your enemies, had He willed. But instead, He lets us go ahead and deal with them in order to test us. Mm-hmm. Just think about that verse, bro.
That's actually one thing that I think about a lot.
Wait, no, like, no, wait. I just clocked. that also goes back to, like, you know, that sentiment. Allah never praises a people until he tests them. When fighting is prescribed, like, think about the Muslims and the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. They had to fight wars. Islam is not a pacifist religion. We will defend ourselves. That's the reality. But think about them. They were tested. And so that after that test, they were raised to high ranks. The Muhajirin, the Ansar, they were tested like nothing ever. Like we haven't seen nothing like that before.
Because, of course, I used this example before, but I love this example. If I say I'm the best boxer in the world, you think somebody's not going to challenge me on that? If I say I'm the best mathematician in the world, somebody's not going to challenge me on that? No, I got to go ahead and prove myself. People are going to go ahead and challenge me. They're going to go ahead and want to fight me, whatever. And the same thing, I can't say I'm the utmost right, best person, a servant of God. And then when something bad happens to me, I go ahead and just turn away from him. Yeah, like, know that Allah will test you as well.
That also makes, like, we have to bring it up now that you guys are talking about war and talking about Muslims and how, like, you know, everybody is understanding what's going on and aware of, I hope you're aware of what's going on.
Between
specifically in Gaza right now with Palestine and in Israel, and how, like, Iran has started to plan their attack. And I want you to understand that, look how long it took for Iran to actually do something. Now, they could have did something a long time ago. They were threatening for a while now.
No, but this is in retaliation.
I'm saying exactly. It's in retaliation because, like you just said, the Muslims don't just go out looking for war. Once you provoke them long enough, then they're going to say, okay, well, we've had enough. Because people start to think, like, either you have people who think that Muslims are on the T side of things. Like, they incite violence. And then you have people who think that Muslims aren't going to do anything.
Let me cut you off real quick. Here's what I will say about this entire thing. I'm no politician, but this is some scary stuff. Now, there's not much advice I could give except to repent to Allah because, man, I'm not one of them guys that superstition, oh, the day of judgment's here, because I don't know when the day of judgment is. But, man, we could be close. I just wanted to let that be known.
Why he's in there like what's going on here?
Dude, because I remember when I seen that, and dude, we were doing the event, and I seen that, and then we had to go pray outside. Dude, I was thinking of my prayer. Dude, I'm cooked. I didn't think that, but I was like, oh, my God, this might be it. It's like, man, I got to get married. I got to do all this.
People talking about, man, my order from Shein didn't even come in yet. Like, bro, the thing is, a lot of people need to understand that, yes, this does affect us. Everything that's happening, it affects us, but don't make it take over your life, okay? Until it actually does have to take over your life. Like, if the sun rose from the west, okay, that's a sign. Take it. Like, but
what are you gonna do with that?
What are you gonna do with that? What are you gonna do with that, boy?
Listen, don't scare yourself more than this event.
Oh yeah, that's a good advice. Cause like you know how I just said it, bro. There are people who every single event, like, dude, this has been happening for like 200 years. Every single event that happens, oh, it's the day of judgment's here. Like, you don't know when it is, but your day of judgment could be tomorrow when you die. Like when you die,
you're like
when you die, you gotta answer for you.
Exactly. The Prophet said, "Your hour comes the day you die." Like, exactly. when you're dead, that's your hour. Like, the day of judgment in itself, no Muslims should be here for the actual day of judgment to start. Like, if you're still on earth, oh, you're cooked. I'm not gonna lie to you, you're cooked. But your hour comes the day that you die. That's all, like, regardless of that. Like, you could die tomorrow. Your hour could be whenever. Your hour could be in 5 minutes. So if you're saying, oh, like, this happened, the day of judgment is near. Like, at the end of the day, it's when your leave this earth is done. Like, you're done from this earth. So that's why I'm saying, like, don't scare yourself even more with these types of events. You know, just take it as a precaution to keep remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything comes as a sign. Like, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep telling you, He's going to send you signs so that you reflect, so that you ponder, so that you are mindful of Him. Because the whole month of Ramadan, what were we trying to do? Build mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Build taqwa. So you got to keep that taqwa going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep sending you these signs even outside of Ramadan. Signs can come in many different forms. It can come in the form of war. Can come in the form of a solar eclipse. Can come in the form of a hardship specifically to you or a hardship to the entire ummah. So, you know, with that, you have to really, like, just be mindful of Allah.
You got to deep it.
Matter of fact, I didn't even get to answer your question from earlier about Ramadan when you were talking about our du'as.
Yeah.
So, let me go ahead and answer that really fast. So, in that moment in Ramadan, especially the last 10 nights, I really felt like every single du'a I made was going to get accepted. Mm. I really had that feeling. And it's just like you said, that feeling of it getting accepted was just so near. It's almost like I could touch it. And then now I make the same exact du'as, but it just doesn't feel the same. You know, it feels like, you know, I have to worry about it a lot more. Versus the month of Ramadan, I can make the du'a and it's like, man, I feel like this is going to come true. And it's just like I kept making du'a over and over and over and over again because it's like, man, I love this feeling. you know, this feeling, it makes me feel great. But now, like, I make the, like I said, I make the same exact du'as. It just doesn't feel the same. But obviously, that's not going to stop me. Because I know at the end of the day, the shaitan, you know, they're not restricted anymore.
Yeah.
And this is my test right here. Mm-hmm. Am I going to keep on making du'a to Allah, or am I going to give up now? Am I asking too much of the Lord of mankind? No, I'm never asking too much of the Lord of mankind. So I'm going to go ahead and keep making du'a. When it comes to the Muslim, there is no impossible for him when it comes to Allah. You know, Allah is the ever-living. None is comparable to him. And always having these thoughts of Allah and learning his names and attributes will always help you whenever you're out here making du'a to Allah. And whenever people say, oh yeah, whenever you call out to Allah, use the best of names. And it's just like, subhanAllah, it just hits so different when you're making du'a to Allah and you're just like, you use his names. Because it's just like, man, like no one else has this type of glory.
Yeah.
Or it's like, this is who I'm asking here. And it's like, they have what I want. They have what I need. They can give me what I want. They can give me what I need.
Like, as some advice to some people, like he just said, I mean, during Ramadan, or especially those last 10 nights making dua every single night and spending a lot of time doing that, but it felt like I could touch the dua. Like, it felt like I could just grasp everything that I was asking for. And obviously, now that Ramadan's over, the feeling's not the same, but it's still there. It's still like, okay, I'm asking the Lord of mankind. And using Allah's names and attributes, especially in times when you're asking for a certain thing, and you have, and that certain thing is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes by. Like, if you're asking for provision, call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Ar-Razzaq, Al-Kareem, Al-Wahhab. Like, or calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by
his mercy.
By his mercy, by his, like, so a lot of ones that I say, Ya Dhal Jalal wa Al-Akram, Ya Akram Al-Akrameen,
Ya Al-Hayyum Ya Al-Qayyum.
Ya Hayyum Ya Al-Qayyum. Like, a lot of these names that I like to use, and I use them in a manner that I associate them to Allah only, and I say, like, things like, oh, you are all powerful, I'm powerless. Like, acknowledge that you are in need of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani al-hamid. He's free of need. We're in need of Allah. So acknowledging that is also in a manner that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide for me whatever he wants. And I say it's easy for Allah, because everything is easy for Allah. He's capable of all things. And call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those manners, knowing that you are his servant indeed. Like, you're his servant. You can't do anything without Allah. And you really got to acknowledge that even when you're asking dua. This is just some advice. Because some people may do it. Some people may even do it better than me. You know, Allahumma barik, I know, and I don't doubt that. But just doing it, like, try making dua in a manner that you acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above you and over all things. Because indeed, we return to Allah. We belong to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. So if you're asking for something of Allah, know that it belongs to him regardless. Mm-hmm. And he can provide it to you like this if he wants.
And most importantly, just being sincere in your du'as. Because this is what's going to help you get it accepted.
Not only that, make dua is not just for the big affairs, but for the small affairs. Make dua that today is safe. Make dua that, you know, you have a happy break, you know, maybe at your work. Make dua that, you know, you have a blessed day. Make dua that to bless your relationships with the people around you. Make all these.
Just involve Allah in everything that you're doing.
In every single affair, because it's not just limited to the big affairs. It's all small affairs as well.
I promise you that will make a difference too. Because once you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you, like, you truly are in need of him no matter what, even though, like, You can go your entire day. Like, all these non-Muslims go. They go without saying Bismillah. They go without seeking refuge from Shaitan. They go without praying. And they're still living on the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you, if you include Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything you do will be more blessed. And you'll actually see that.
Or it's just like, what's it called? Like, obviously, we can't use our subjective feelings to prove Islam. But it's just like, my subjective feelings after Ramadan, it's just like, wow. Like what Osman said earlier, Ramadan truly is a blessed month. Allah does exist, you know. Islam is the truth. You see what I'm saying?
Bro, anybody can see that Islam is like the religion of truth. If they were to go about it with what? Sincerity. If anybody came in looking to Islam with sincerity, they'd find it. They'd find Islam. They'd find the truth that Islam means, okay, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you'd also find everything else that comes with that. What comes with the submission to Allah? You're going to find that peace. You're going to find those blessings. You're going to find that reassurance, that constant reassurance. Because no matter what you go through, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed this upon you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something for you, ultimately it's still your choice whether you turn to Allah or whether you don't.
No, but it's beautiful the fact that, you know, we have these subjective experiences because, like, at the end of the day, I could tell my story to 1,000 people. None of them have to believe me. But it's like, I felt it for myself. Because objectively, I can prove Islam. We can all prove Islam all day. You know why it's the truth and everything. And then that's just something for everybody to see. But those subjective views that are tailored to you only is just like, you know, they just hit different.
The reason why we a lot of us don't use our subjective feelings to try to prove Islam is, because one, you see how it works for non-Muslims. I mean, a Christian will come to you saying, oh, I saw Jesus in my dream, or you don't have the Holy Spirit. What is that supposed to prove to me? No, I can just say, oh, I saw Prophet Muhammad, Ali saw Islam in my dream, and he told me Islam is the truth. Or I saw Jesus in my dream, he told me Islam is the truth. Like, but who's right here?
That's of course, that's happened to me. Like, I'll sit there, I'll have a debate with a Christian, they'll be like, oh, I saw Jesus came to me in my dream. And I'm like, bro, he came to me in my dream too. And he told me to worship Allah.
Yeah, like, but the subjective feelings, like, okay, trust with sincerity is different. Like, I've seen what sincerity does as a Muslim. Like, especially what we just went through Ramadan. And going through Ramadan with that sincerity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see it. Like, the sweetness of Ramadan is unbeatable. Like, you saw how many people were in Mecca and Medina. I know I wasn't there, but it felt like I was still reaping rewards like that.
And on top of that, in Ramadan, it felt like anything that happened that reminds you of Allah always boosted your in iman immensely. Mm. Like, bro, remember when I was telling about the story with our reverb brother, Luciano? Mm-hmm. Bro, that happened the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It's just like,
it all happened so fast. It's like, bro, and now he's like, I'm so happy you reverted.
Finding Islam the month that it came down.
No, but just like, when I was just reflecting on the story, and especially it being in the last 10 minutes of Ramadan, like, well, I just made my iman go from here to like here, bro. I was like, bro, what the heck?
Not for real though, man.
It's like eating a mushroom in Mario.
Yeah, because like, bro, you've seen it how many times, like, we've had a brother who reverted, and like, all of a sudden they become like part of the family, bro.
Yeah.
That's sure. Really what Islam does.
Like, instantly,
it brings you together,
instantly,
bro. And with that, like, you know, that can conclude this podcast. I mean, don't let that post-Ramadan depression hit, bro. Keep up your habits, like, post-Ramadan. You know, Eid has just, like, passed. But, you know, the Hajj is coming up. Arafah's coming up. Another blessed time of year. Like, we're getting ready for the time of Hajj. Even though some of us may not be able to go to Hajj, you know, just prepare for that time of year. You know, it's a blessed time of year. There's blessings every time of the year, too. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just place Ramadan and that's the only blessed time there is. There's blessed times always. Friday is a blessed day. There's an hour every single Friday where your du'as are accepted between Asr and Maghrib. Like, don't just think that Ramadan is the only time where you can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so long as you have Allah. So long as you seek Allah. Know that Allah is the only one who can do that for you. And it's easy for Allah. Just know that. So with that, you know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, we appreciate you guys for watching. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this episode. Make sure to join the Discord and also be in tune for what we have coming out soon. We have a lot of great things coming out. It's going to be very beneficial for the community, inshallah, and I know you guys are going to love it. Also, we're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.